We are brothers and sisters in Christ. If we are followers of Christ, we're part of the same family. You are my extended family. And how many of you appreciate your extended family? Okay, good. You're all raising your hands. You know, sometimes not everybody raises their hand when they think of their, their extended family. As Pastor Brian mentioned, I was born in Southampton, England. My parents immigrated to Canada when I was 4 years of age. And as he was mentioning about that wise choice, I distinctly remember at age four saying to my mom and dad when they told my older brother and I that we were coming to Canada, I said, "I'm going to join you on that trip." I thought that was pretty smart as a four-year-old to come that way. And we landed here. And as a result of churches that connected with our family, basically knocked on our door and invited my parents to send my older brother and I to Sunday school on a bus. Now, who in their right mind today would send a four-year-old on a bus to Sunday school? That doesn't happen anymore. But back then, there weren't those concerns. And you know what? We went to Sunday school as a result of connection with churches and being at a camp connected to one of those churches. That's how I came to know and understand who Jesus was and what he had done for me. That happened for me at 10 years of age. And I am so thankful for churches that loved me for Jesus. And that's what it's all about. It's all about the church. And through the church, we have a wonderful extended family. And the young lady who I ended up marrying, I grew up in this quiet British home where children were seen and not heard. How many of you grew up in a home like that? Right? I so desperately wanted to be more heard than I was seen. Maybe that's why God allowed me to be a preacher. But the young lady, I was already an associate pastor in a church, and I met this young lady who was part of the young adults ministry of that church, and we began to build a relationship. I got invited home within a couple weeks for Sunday dinner, and I met her extended family, her parents, Vince and Mary, and then I met her siblings, Vince, Victor, Vicky, Vanna, Virginia, Vanessa, Veronica, Vonda, and Vaughn. And there'll be a quiz at the end of the service for anybody who can give me all nine of those names. I married Veronica. This fall we'll celebrate 28 years of marriage together. And you know what? Over the years, I've come to realize the value of an extended family. And through my own family, but especially through my wife's extended family. We are now up to 22 grandchildren in that family. I don't believe there's going to be any more unless there's some surprises along the way that God brings into some of our lives. And we are now up to, as of just last week, 18 great-grandchildren in that extended family, with only 9 of the 22 grandchildren being married. It's a wonderful family. And you know what? You realize the value of extended family, especially as parents get older, start going through health concerns. And you know what? Within our church, this is your extended family. Right here at Caledon Hills. This is your extended family. But greater than that, we have a fellowship of churches that we are a part of, that you are a part of, spread across Canada in 5 regions, 512 churches currently. 5 regions, you're part of the central region of our fellowship, which is 274 churches. The video is a little bit out of date because we just added 3 churches in, but 274 churches in Ontario and English-speaking Quebec make up the central region. That's who I get to serve with and travel across our province and into the province of Quebec, and just to come alongside and support and encourage the work that our churches are already doing. And our vision is to be a region of Spirit-led, thriving, and reproducing churches. And to see that vision accomplished, we put our focus in 3 areas: church planting, church health, and leadership development. Did you know that the church, among the many metaphors that are in the Bible for the church is the bride of Christ? Isn't that a beautiful picture? You and I are the bride of Christ. And I've come to realize over the years, when you go to a wedding or you officiate at a wedding, which I've had the privilege of doing, who is the wedding really all about? Who's the wedding all about? It's all about the bride, right? I know the groom is there, you know, but it's all about the bride. Bottom line, that's where the focus is. One of the churches I was involved in had a very healthy young adult ministry. And as a result of that healthy young adult ministry, one of the natural byproducts are weddings. And students came from literally all over the world to the city of Ottawa. We were averaging 15 weddings a year in that church. 1 year we had 28 weddings directly connected to that healthy young adult ministry. I did not do them all. That would have been my whole year just doing weddings. 4 girls from one family got married in that calendar year. Okay, just imagine. That father is absolutely broke, but he has a great extended family. And you know what? In all the weddings I've been involved in, not every part of every wedding is my preference. But you know what? It really doesn't matter, because who's the wedding all about? Didn't matter what I thought. It's all about the bride. And you know what? When it comes to the church, we are the bride of Christ. And how do we treat a bride on her wedding day, no matter what we think about the wedding? We treat her with honor and dignity and respect. And that's how we together, but especially those who give leadership, that's how we need to treat the bride of Christ, with honor and dignity and respect. Not every part's going to be all of our preference, right, when it comes to the church, but that's okay. As long as the theology is right and the ministry is done right, it's all about the bride of Christ. And we have the incredible privilege as leadership in helping get the bride ready for a glorious day. You know what that day is, right? It's the day when the bridegroom, our Savior, will return and take us, his bride, to be with him. In the meantime, we get the bride ready and we reach out as the bride to help bring others in so they can be a part of that glorious day when the bridegroom returns for his church. Can I just say to you today, we deeply appreciate as a region, and you, we are Feb Central together, we deeply appreciate your pastors and their families, and we are thankful for them. For Pastor Bill and Janet and their family, for Pastor Brian and Joanne and their family. And I know you already do this, but can I encourage you? I was a pastor for 29 years in local churches. Continue to love them and support them and encourage them and pray for them as families, because God has called them to serve you in this place, in this time. And may God use you in incredible ways together to reach out and do what God has called you to do as a church. If you want to know more about Feb Central and what we're doing together, these brochures are on the back table. And we're also taking the lead now as a region of churches in setting the future direction of Heritage College and Seminary. We've moved our offices right onto the campus there in Cambridge. There's great synergy that comes from that, and certainly students come from other denominations, but we believe it's so important for our churches and for others to be a part of that great school. And it's seen a great turnaround. Enrollment was up 12% last year. Enrollment already this year, anticipating this fall, and there's still 2.5 months to go, is already up 10% over last year. And so we're really encouraged in what God is doing there through that school and the ministry that we can have in plugging students into our churches where they can be equipped in ministry. So there's information about Heritage back there as well. Would you just join me? Just watch a 3-minute DVD, which introduces our staff to you, really your staff within Feb Central, as we serve together as your extended family. And then we'll spend some time in God's Word together.
Reproducing churches. That's our vision statement for our 272 churches in Feb Central. And we are excited about what God is doing in our churches. God is doing great things in our region, and I want you to hear what He is doing from some of our team.
As I've been out amongst our churches in this past year, I've discovered two great needs. Number one is for our current pastors and elders and ministry leaders to disciple and invest their lives in the next generation of those who will serve in leadership in their local churches. Secondly is the need for us to raise up and equip the next generation of our pastors, church planters, missionaries, and all those who will serve in vocational ministry around the world. We are thrilled with our relationship here at Heritage College and Seminary as we work together to implement a 2-year full-time guided ministry experience or internship into every degree program so that those who are called of God to serve in various places in various roles will be well equipped to serve Him.
Why are we planting new churches? Well, because 90% of the population of our region is without Christ. And our new churches are making a difference. Perfect example of this is our church plant in Bell River, where the public school faculty have asked permission to send their troubled teens to our church plant because they can tell it makes a difference. In church planting, we're busy recruiting, training, resourcing, and coaching church planters from across the region. We have several new churches on the go. We're hoping to see new ones launched in the coming months. A new thing that we've introduced is our church reinvention template. It offers hope to those churches who've experienced significant decline and may be on the brink of closure. We offer them a fresh revisioning and a new start.
Hi, I'm Dave Barker, and I'm the Vice President of Academic and Student Affairs at Heritage College and Seminary. I'm also the seminary dean. We are so excited to have Feb Central on campus with us. This helps us focus on the kinds of churches that we are seeking to serve, as well as the kinds of students that we are preparing to be pastors, missionaries, and workers for the church. We are also excited for the many opportunities for internships that this partnership provides.
We praise the Lord for new area shepherds helping to carry the load and minister throughout our region. We praise the Lord for new church plants. We praise the Lord for students coming to Christ at our Feb U gatherings every year across the region. Continue to pray for Tom, Godfrey, and I as we seek to serve you in our local churches. What a privilege we have. I'm Bob Fleming, Regional Director for Feb Central.
Well, if you carry any kind of a smartphone on a regular basis, you know that there are many ways for you to receive information, right? Obviously, you can receive regular phone calls and people can leave you a voicemail. You can get the latest news, weather, and sports by going online and catching up on what's been happening in our world. You can hit the weather app and you can just know exactly what it's like at the exact place you are at that time and what the weather is. Or if you're traveling somewhere, usually there's a GPS on there so you can get directions to where you're traveling to. People can send you text messages. People can email you. You can go on Skype, even on your phone. There's just so many ways for us today to receive information. For example, this morning I grabbed a Tim Hortons when I left Cambridge and I got up here to Caledon East and I went through town and guess what? You do not yet have a Tim Hortons in Caledon East. I could not believe it. But very quickly, because I was nice and early and leave myself lots of time, I was able to go onto the Timmy application on my smartphone and just hit the button and guess what it did for me? It let me know that just 10 kilometers north of here is the closest Tim Hortons, right up there at Highway 9. And I had time to zip up there and grab another second cup of coffee for the morning and get me back here to the church on time. So many ways for us to receive information. But it's great to receive all this information, but we've got to do something. We've got to respond to when that information comes to us. When that information comes, we've got to choose to literally pick up the receiver and respond to that information. It's no different in our relationship with the Lord. And the title for our message this morning, if you've already looked in your bulletin or at your sermon notes, is When God Calls, Pick Up the Receiver. When God speaks to us about something, are we willing not only to hear what God is saying, but also to pick up the receiver and literally respond to what He is seeking to say to us? And that's my prayer for us this morning. That as God speaks to us through His Word, and I sincerely believe God speaks to us through worship. Thank you to those who helped lead us in worship today to see Christ high and lifted up in this place. God speaks to us through worship, and God speaks to us through His Word. And we've already worshiped together. I trust God has already spoken to your heart and in many ways, as He's done with mine, help prepare you for what He desires to say to you today through His Word. But God wants to speak to us. He does each and every week when we gather together as the family of God. And throughout the Bible, we see God calling individuals to serve Him. And there's numerous examples that we could turn to in the Scriptures today to see God's call upon the hearts and lives of the individuals that are there in the Bible for us. For example, you can go to the story of Abraham and realize that God called Abraham to pack up his family and all his belongings and calls him to go to a place, but doesn't tell him where he is going. How many of you wives would be impressed if your husband came home from work tomorrow and said, God spoke to me and said we're supposed to pack up and move, but I don't know where we're going? That's what happened with Abraham. And by faith, in obedience to God, he does exactly what God told him to do. We read of Samuel, who as a young boy heard the voice of God speaking to him. And God calls him at a young age to serve him, and Samuel, by faith, responds. By the way, that's why your ministry to these children is so important, because you never know when God is going to speak to the heart and life of one of those little ones. Don't stop doing that and investing in their lives. We read of Noah, who was called of God to do what seemed to be absolutely ridiculous in the eyes of men, build an ark because there's going to be a flood. Nobody knew what a flood was. And yet the Bible says, by faith, Noah builds an ark and his family was saved. We read of Jonah, who was called of God to go up from where he was to the city of Nineveh to preach a message of repentance and judgment. And instead, in disobedience, he responds and he goes in the opposite direction. You know, I sincerely believe, just as we see numerous examples in the scripture of God calling people to serve him, God is still calling people to serve him today. Do you believe that this morning? God is still calling people to serve him today. And whether for you that's right here in this local church, Caledon Hills Fellowship Baptist Church, maybe that's what God is calling you to do today, to serve him in this place. Maybe God is calling you, which I believe really is a call to all of us, is to serve in the communities that God has placed us in, the neighborhoods in which we live as followers of Christ and, as the Bible calls us, ambassadors for Christ. It might be in our workplaces, in the schools that we go to each and every day. Wherever our community is, wherever God has planted us, maybe God is calling us to serve him there, to be that salt and light that we are called to be. Or maybe for some, no matter your age, but especially if you are younger today, God is calling you to serve him in what we call vocational ministry. Pastors, church planters, missionaries, and all those who serve in ministry with the church. Maybe God is calling that to you today. I sincerely believe God is still calling people to serve him. And I want to take you this morning to one of numerous examples, again, in the Bible that we can look at to see God's call upon the life of an individual. And in the example of this man, there are some very practical and personal lessons for us today. And it's my prayer that when God calls us, whatever he's calling you to do, that we would be willing to pick up the receiver and respond to what God is saying to us. So if you would take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 19 to 21. And in these three verses, in the call of a man named Elijah, we find some significant lessons for us today when it comes to our obedience and our response to God's call. Would you allow me just to take a minute or so, and before we read God's word together, allow me on your behalf to talk to the author of this incredible book and ask him to speak to our hearts today. Father, we love you. We thank you for all that we have enjoyed together this morning already. Thank you, Father, for this church, which is a beautiful local expression of the bride of Christ around the world. And Father, as these people have come this morning, I pray that as Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus, you would open the eyes of our hearts. And we would be ready not only to listen, not only to receive the message you have for us today, but by your Spirit, we'd also have the courage to respond to what you desire to say to us. Guide us in your word. Thank you for the scriptures that we have in our hands this morning. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Pick up with me 1 Kings 19, beginning in verse 19. It says this, "So Elijah went from there." If you go back to verse 16, you see that Elijah was being obedient to God, because Elijah was told by God to go and anoint Elijah, the son of Shaphat, to be the next prophet. So verse 19 picks up that story and that obedience. "For Elijah went from there, he found Elijah, the son of Shaphat. Elijah was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him, and he threw his cloak around him. Elijah then left his oxen, and he ran after Elijah. 'Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye,' he said, 'and then I will come with you.' 'Go back,' Elijah replied. 'What have I done to you?' So Elijah left him and he went back. He took his yoke of oxen and he slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and he gave it to the people and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and he became his servant." First of all, this morning, as you follow along in your sermon notes, and don't panic because it's on two pages, okay? We'll move through this very quickly. But we read, first of all, and I believe as we think about God's call, number one, God's call in Elijah's life was unexpected, I would say to you this morning. It was unexpected. We read that when Elijah came up to him, and Elijah was God's prophet at this point of time, God's messenger to his people, it says that when Elijah went up to him, he found Elijah, the son of Shaphat, and what was Elijah doing? He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, he himself driving the 12th pair. We learn that Elijah was a farmer. And so when Elijah went up to him, Elijah was doing what he did each and every day. That was his occupation. And I don't imagine Elijah got up that morning and got ready for work and went out and started plowing in the fields, he and the other 11 men who were driving the other yoke of oxen. I don't imagine he went out that day expecting God to call him to be the next prophet amongst the people of Israel. He just went out to do what he did each and every day. And in the midst of doing what he was doing each and every day, this unexpected call came into his life. I remember myself at age 17. I was sitting in May of 1978 in what was Central Baptist Church in Brantford. It was on Victoria Day. Those days we had these big youth rallies on Victoria Day and Easter weekend and also on Thanksgiving Monday. And on that particular Victoria Day, I was sitting there with about these 1,000 teenagers packed into this church building. I had traveled with my youth group from Georgetown. I didn't know what God was going to do in my life that day. I just went to have a great time with my youth group. And through that day, God spoke to my heart. And I distinctly remember it was through worship and through the Word. Now, it was not an audible voice. But through what I heard and what I participated in, God spoke to my heart. You see, my dream from grade 9 was to be an architect. I was going to go to the University of Toronto after what we had back then, grade 13, for 5 years in that university program, and I was going to be an architect. That was my plan for my life. And God spoke to my heart that day at age 17. And do you know what he said to me that day? He said, "Godfrey, I want you to help people." That's what I heard that day. Now, I had no clue what that meant, but I knew it was from God. And I went back and I talked to the gentleman who was the interim pastor at my home church there in Georgetown at that time. And I told him what God had said to me. And I said, "I have no clue what that means." And do you know what he said to me? He said, "I think you got to go to Bible college." Because he said, "I think God is calling you into some kind of vocational ministry. Maybe as a pastor, maybe as a missionary, whatever that might be." He says, "I think you got to go to Bible college." And because I had a respect and a trust for that man, guess what I did? That fall after grade 12, I skipped grade 13 and I went right to Bible college at 17 years of age. He also said to me, "I think you should go to Central Baptist Seminary in Toronto." Didn't give me any other options. But again, I trusted and respected the man, and so that's where I went. And I am so thankful that that day God brought this unexpected call into my life. And it reminds me, as I think of my story and as I think of Elijah here, of a couple of verses in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 19, verse 21 says this: "Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's God's purpose that prevails." And then Proverbs 16, verse 9, it says, "In his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps." And I think the key for us today, when we think of this unexpected call that can come to any of us at any time in our lives, is this. We need to be listening for the voice of God. To be in that place that when God speaks to us, we are ready not only to listen, but also to respond. But to be listening for the voice of God. That's exactly where Elijah was that day. Obviously, he had a relationship with God at this point in his life. We don't know about Elijah before this time in his life. But just by the way he responds, we know he was listening for the voice of God, even though it came in a very unexpected way in his life that day. And so I would encourage you and I today, we need to be in that place within the midst of all the noise that's going on and all the busyness in our lives all around us. Are we really listening for that voice of God? Number two, I would say to you this morning that God's call in Elijah's life, we learn here, was significant. Not only was it unexpected, it was significant. Now, as I read this passage, you know some things I discover about Elijah? I discover that he was a wealthy man. I discover that he was set for life financially. I discover that his portfolio was in good shape, and he'd probably be able to retire early. Now, you're sitting there and saying, I don't see that in my Bible. Where do you find that? Well, again, whenever you read God's words, look for the detail that God provides for us. The detail is there for a reason, right? Every time there's a detail that's given, God's put it there for a purpose in his word. And we discover in verse 19, again, some significant detail. Not only, as I already mentioned, do we know that he was a farmer because he was out plowing, it says he was plowing with what? 12 yoke of oxen. And he himself was doing what? Driving the 12th pair. That's an important detail in God's word. And when they work their way down...
We are brothers and sisters in Christ. Right? If we are followers of Christ, we're part of the same family. You are my extended family.
That's the exact
same. How many of you appreciate your extended family?
1 Kings chapter 19.
Okay? Good, you're all raising your hands. You know? Sometimes not everybody raises their hand when they think of their extended family. As Pastor Brian mentioned, I was born in Southampton, England. My parents immigrated to Canada when I was 4 years of age. And as he was mentioning about that wise choice, I distinctly remember at age four saying to my mom and dad when they told my older brother and I that we were coming to Canada, I said, I'm going to join you on that trip. I thought that was pretty smart as a four-year-old to come that way. And we landed here, and as a result of churches that connected with our family, basically knocked on our door and invited my parents to send my older brother and I to Sunday school on a bus.
That'd be the equivalent of 12
in their right mind today would send a four-year-old on a bus to Sunday school. That doesn't happen anymore.
Interesting how our farmers
but back then there weren't those concerns. And you know what? We went to Sunday school as a result of connection with churches and being at a camp connected to one of those churches. That's how I came to know and understand who Jesus was.
The owner
and
would
what he had done
put the
for
man
me. That
with the most experience in his business.
And I am so thankful
the first pair.
For churches
Why?
That loved
he could
me.
Drive a straight
Jesus.
Furrow for everyone
and
else.
That's what
to
it's
follow.
All about. It's all about the church.
And because he
and
was
through the church,
the
we have a wonderful extended family. And
the owner really
the young lady who I ended up marrying.
All the hires,
I grew up in this quiet British
line,
home where children were seen and not heard. How many of you grew up
pair,
in a home like
the
that?
11th
right? I so desperately wanted to be more heard than I was seen. Maybe that's why God allowed me to be a preacher.
Why? So the owner could keep
the young lady,
his newest employee. He could coach him as
young
he worked
lady
his way down the
was part
field
of
and
the
help
young
him
adults
be
ministry of that church.
And when someone
and
retired,
began to build a relationship, I got invited home within a couple weeks for Sunday dinner, and I met her extended
or if the
family.
Business was
her parents,
expanding,
Vince
he'd get
and Mary,
another yoke of oxen.
And then I met her siblings: Vince, Victor, Vicky, Vanna, Virginia, Vanessa, Veronica, Vonda, and Vaughn.
You see, this call
and there'll be a quiz at the end of the service for anybody who can give me all nine of those names. I married Veronica this fall. We'll celebrate 28 years of marriage together. And you know what? Over the years, I've come to realize the value of an extended family.
And I love what it says down
through my own family,
but
especially through my wife's.
It says he left his oxen, he ran
after
Elijah.
We are now up to 22 grandchildren.
He says, let me kiss my father and mother goodbye.
I don't believe there's going to be any more unless there's some surprises along the way that God brings into some of our lives. And we are now up to, as of just last week, 18 great-grandchildren in that extended family, with only nine of
everything
the 22 grandchildren
in order to do what God was calling him.
And you know what? You realize the value
so
of extended family, especially as parents get older, start going through health concerns.
By faith,
and you know what?
And
within our church,
exactly
this is your extended
what God
family,
called him to do.
Right here at Calvary.
I think the
Hills,
key for us
this
today
is your extended
is
family.
But
greater than that, we have a fellowship of churches that we are a part of, that you are a part of, spread across Canada in five regions, 512 churches currently, five regions. You're part of the central region of our fellowship, which is 274 churches. The video is a little bit out of date because we just added three churches in, but 274 churches in Ontario
do
and English-speaking Quebec make up the
but allow and recognize that God may use it as
travel across our province and into the province of Quebec. And
here we
to come
see
alongside
Elijah,
and support
again,
and encourage the
obviously
work
not a
that
lazy
our churches
man.
Are already
he
doing.
Probably could have hired
our vision
an experienced
is to be
guy to
a
drive that last
spirit-led,
and he could have just stayed at home every day and watched the cash roll in.
And to see that vision
but
accomplished,
he was busy
we put
doing
our focus
he knew,
in three
how to
areas,
do, and I would say
church
he
planting,
probably enjoyed
church
doing.
Health,
and
leadership. And
in the midst of that, God calls
did you know that the church,
in the midst of that
among the many
call,
metaphors that are in the Bible for the church,
and it's no
the
different
church
for
is
you
the bride
today.
Of Christ. Isn't that a beautiful
he
picture?
Was
you and I are the bride
seed,
of
literally,
Christ.
Right? As a farmer.
And I've come to
and
realize over the years, when you go to a
harvest.
Wedding or
you know what
officiate
God
at a wedding, which I've had
for?
The privilege of
the
doing,
day when
who
Elijah,
is the wedding
when he was equipped
really
as a prophet, he would sow spiritual
seed. Who's the wedding all about?
And he would reap a spiritual
harvest. All about the bride, right? I know the groom is
there. Does
that
remind you of four men in the New Testament?
It's all about the bride. Bottom line,
Peter,
that's where the
Andrew,
focus
James
is.
And John?
One of the churches I was involved in
they
had a very healthy young adult ministry.
Who became what?
And as a result of that healthy young adult ministry, one of the natural byproducts,
Jesus,
our weddings.
First to the call to be
students came from literally all over the world to the city of Ottawa. We were averaging 15 weddings a year in that
by
church.
Faith, they
one
left
year we
their
had
nets.
28 weddings directly connected to that healthy young adult ministry. I did not do them all. That would have been my whole year just doing weddings. Four girls from one family got married in that calendar year. Okay. Just imagine, that father is absolutely broke, but he has a great extended family.
They would reap.
And you know what? In all the weddings I've been involved in, not every part of every wedding
time,
is
you know
my
what?
Preference.
Those fishermen,
but you know what?
You know what
it really
they
doesn't
were
matter
originally?
Who's the wedding.
They were catching what was alive.
It's all about the bride.
Fish, and they were making
and
it.
You know
dead.
What? When it comes to the church,
and God changed that all around, and they were catching.
How do we treat a bride on her wedding day? No matter what we think about
by the Spirit of God,
we treat her with honor and dignity and respect.
Isn't God great?
And that's how
you
we
and I,
together,
we
are
especially
those who give
right?
leadership,
but
that's
God
how
has
we
called us
to
be ambassadors,
the bride of
to
Christ,
serve Him
with
as
honor,
His ambassadors,
dignity,
His representatives.
Not every part is going to be
on this
all
earth,
of our preference,
as long
right?
as he
when
has
it comes
here.
To the church.
But do it 100%. Do it all for the glory of God.
As long as
the theology
is right.
I would say
right.
to you this morning, God's call
ministry
was
is done right.
In
it's all about the bride of Christ.
And we have
the incredible
detail that God provides for us,
helping get the bride ready.
It says Elijah went up to him.
It's the day when the bridegroom,
detail,
our Savior, will return and take
around.
Us, His bride.
And you know what?
Him.
Elijah
in the meantime,
knew
we get
exactly
the bride ready,
meant,
and we
day.
Reach out as the bride to help bring others
Elijah
in so they can be a part
a word
of that glorious
until
day
Elijah
when the bridegroom
speaks,
returns
right?
for His church.
Elijah says, after
today,
the cloak goes on his shoulders,
appreciate,
he says,
as a region,
please
and
let
you,
me go
we
and
are
kiss my father and mother goodbye, and
we deeply
makes that
appreciate
to him, and I will come with you.
Your pastor.
Elijah didn't have to
families.
Say a word to
and
Elijah.
We are thankful for
Elijah knew exactly
for
what
Pastor
it
Bill
meant
and
that
Janet
cloak
and their family, for Pastor Brian and Joanne.
He
and
knew
their
that
family.
God was calling
and
him.
And I know you already do this, but can I encourage you? I was a pastor for 29 years in local churches.
Until after Elijah spoke.
Continue to love them.
Or Elijah spoke, and then Elijah responded
them
and says,
and pray for them as families.
Please go and say goodbye.
Because God called them to serve you.
And then he asks a rhetorical question of Elijah. It
may God
use
you
no
in incredible
answer.
Ways together.
What have I done?
To reach out
to
and do what God has
in other words,
to do
Elijah,
as a church.
Know exactly.
You
what
want to know
I
more about Feb Central and what we're
and
doing
what
together?
Exactly
these brochures are on the back table.
And
we're also taking the lead now
cloak,
as a region of churches in setting the future direction
and
of Heritage
everybody
College
who would
and
have
Seminary.
Elijah
we moved
later
our offices
on
right
cloak,
onto the campus there in Cambridge. There's
the
great synergy that,
exactly
that comes from that, and certainly students
means.
Come from other denominations,
we
but we believe
we don't
it's
read
so
it
important
here that
for
Elijah
our churches
must
and for others
the
to be a part of that great school.
Because later on,
seen
in
a great
Kings,
turnaround.
Taken
enrollment was up 12% last year. Enrollment
earth?
Already this it's year, anticipating this fall,
so
when there's 2.5 months to go, is already
because
up
Elijah
10% over
was going
last
to be
year.
Equipped.
And so we're really encouraged.
And,
God
and only when
there,
Elijah was taken
and
was Elijah
that we
ready
have
to put the cloak
in plugging
on the shoulders
students into our churches.
But everybody would have known, number one,
in ministry.
In this powerful
there was information about Heritage
cloak,
back there as well.
That
would
Elijah
you just join me? Just watch a 3-minute DVD,
which
introduces our staff to really your staff within Feb Central.
He was
in we served together
a prophet
as your extended family. And then we'll
he was being equipped to do the job that God was calling him to do in
the
future. Now under the care and the instruction of Elijah. We learn here that down at the end of verse 21, he follows Elijah, and what does he become? He becomes his personal servant. And we're told in 2 Kings 3:11 that he was willing to learn and that he was known to wash the hands of the prophet Elijah. Think about this for a moment. Here's this man, the owner of a major agricultural business in his day. He walks away from it all and he's known to wash the hands of the prophet.
And then they're going
to
hit Command X to cut.
That to me is a true miracle.
I click on the playhead on the top slot.
That's what he is if we're really going to serve God.
And we're going to hit Command B.
He has shown thee, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of us in Micah 6, verse 8? To do justly, to love mercy, and to do wisely. To walk humbly. Here's a picture of that. This man becomes the personal servant. He becomes the apprentice, the minister. That's why I'm a big believer today that as we raise up and equip the next generation of pastors and church planters and missionaries, we need to have great teaching churches. Not only do they need their theological education or the school-like heritage, there's
many great schools, that's one of them. They also need the guided ministry experience in the context of the Fathers Church. How many of you value that your doctor went through a teaching hospital or did some kind of a residency, right? Your doctor cannot do physical surgery unless he's had some kind of internship. So why do we allow people to do spiritual surgery with the sword of the Spirit, but we don't allow them to gain experience in a great teaching church? This can be a great teaching church. And I would challenge all of you to think about how you can invest in the next generation. I had that opportunity in my home church for 2 years. I will never regret that. I'm so thankful for that.
Give it a title, artist.
And you, as a church, you have seasoned pastors. Notice I didn't say our church plant. They're seasoned. And they have a wealth of experience that they can invest and need.
And it'll show it on my desktop
in the next generation. That's exactly what happened to Elijah. We have secondly, the cloak would have symbolized in a powerful way that Elijah was now clothed with the same spirit that Elijah had been clothed with. Do we know from the Bible that Elijah was clothed with the Spirit of God? Look at the things God did in and through that man by his Spirit, right? In a powerful way. And now, once he put that cloak on, Elijah would be clothed with the same spirit. It was only a symbol in that day, but it was a powerful symbol. For you and I today, the moment we accepted Christ, we don't need to put a cloak on, right? Because we were enveloped by the Spirit. And God's Spirit empowers us to live out the reality of our prayer. If you're here today like I am as a parent, I have a 21-year-old son and an 18-year-old daughter. Do you know what? My kids deserve to see the reality of my faith being lived out in front of them. Now they'll tell you that I have not done that perfectly, but they deserve to see that. And if you're here today as a parent or a grandparent, maybe a great-grandparent, your children, your grandchildren deserve to see the reality of your faith being lived out in front of them. They need to know that you love God. They need to know you love God's Word. They need to know you love God's church by the way you serve in this local church. They need to know that the Spirit of God lives in you.
Well, if you carry any kind of a smartphone on a regular basis, you know that there are many ways for you to receive
information. By the way, young people here this morning,
there's obviously you can receive regular phone calls and people can leave you a voicemail.
I know some of you say you don't know my parents.
You can get the latest news, weather, and sports by going online and catching up on what's been happening in our world. You can hit the weather app and you can just know exactly what it's like at the exact place you are at that time and what the weather is. If you're traveling somewhere, usually there's a GPS on there, so you can get directions to where you're traveling to. People can send you text messages.
And we all know that
every email you, there's one day
you can
go on Skype, even on your phone. There's just so many ways for us today to receive information. For example, this morning I grabbed a Tim Hortons when I left Cambridge, and I got up here to Caledon East, and I went through town, and guess what? You do not yet have a Tim Hortons in Caledon East. I could not believe it. But very quickly, because I was nice and early and leave myself lots of time, I was able to go on to the Timmy application on my smartphone and just hit the button, and guess what it did for
me? Not gonna be an
it let me know that just 10 kilometers north of here is the closest Tim Hortons, right up there at Highway 9.
That's why God says to
us, zip up there and grab another second cup of coffee for the morning and get me back here to the church on time. So many ways for us to receive
the reality of God's word.
But it's great to receive all this information, but we've got to do something. We've got to respond to when that information comes to us.
And we never stop.
When that information comes, we've got to choose to literally pick up the receiver.
And our children, just like people would have seen Elijah clothed,
it's no different in our relationship with the Lord.
Deserve to see
and the title for our message this morning, if you've already looked in your bulletin or in your sermon notes,
so many
is when God calls,
obedience
pick
to God,
up
that we need to live out in front of our
when God
our
speaks to us about something, are we willing not only to hear what God is saying, but also to pick up the receiver and literally respond to what he is
by
seeking
being baptized
to say to us.
By immersion?
And that's my prayer for us
that
this morning.
Right away.
That as
you
God speaks
say,
to us through his word, and I sincerely believe God speaks to us through worship.
What will my friends think?
Thank you to those who helped lead us in worship today to see Christ high and lifted up in this place.
Because your kids,
God speaks to us through worship, and God speaks to us
through
His Word. And we've already worshiped together. I trust God has already spoken to your heart in many ways, as He's done with mine. Help prepare you for what He desires to say to you today through His Word.
Do but all God you wants can to speak to us. The reality of your faith.
He does each and every week when we gather together as powerful, the family of God.
Symbolized power.
And throughout the Bible, we see God calling individuals to serve Him. And there's numerous examples that we could turn to in the Scriptures today to see God's call upon the hearts and lives of the individuals that are
under Elijah's ministry. He'd been tutored.
For example, you can go to the story of Abraham and realize that God called Abraham to pack up his family and all his belongings and calls him to go to a place but doesn't tell him where he is going. How many of you wives would be impressed if your husband came home from work tomorrow and said, God spoke to me and said we're supposed to pack up
and
move, but I don't know where
we're going? Number one, I would say to you, it was calculated.
And by faith,
Elijah
in obedience to God,
in that brief moment, and it seems like he doesn't even give it a second.
We read of Samuel, who as a young boy,
heard the voice of God speaking to him.
And God calls him at a young age to serve him, and Samuel, by faith, responds. By the way, that's why your ministry to these children is so important, because you never know when God is going to speak to the heart and life.
And he
of
was
one
so
of those
depressed,
little ones.
He wanted
Don't
God
stop
to
doing that and investing in their lives.
God sent him right back.
We read of Noah, who was called of God to do what seemed to be absolutely ridiculous in the eyes of men.
What it meant to be a
build an ark because there's going to be
a
flood.
Right with God.
Nobody knew what a flood
He would have known what happened.
And yet the Bible says, by faith, Noah builds an ark. And his family was saved.
They killed
we read of Jonah, who was called of God to go up from where he was to the city of Nineveh to preach a message of repentance and judgment.
God's calling.
And instead, in disobedience, he responds
and
he goes in the opposite
direction. Leave the safety and security of my home, my job, my future?
You know, I sincerely believe, just as we see numerous examples in the Scripture of God calling people to serve him, God is still calling people to serve him.
Yet I discovered God often takes one out of their comfort.
God is still calling people to serve him.
Everything they know.
And whether for you that's okay, right here in this local church,
and I want to
Caledon Hills Fellowship Baptist Church, maybe that's what God is calling you to do today,
and He serves it all away.
Maybe God is calling you, which I believe really is a call to all of us, is to serve in the communities that God has placed us in, the neighborhoods in which we live as followers of Christ, and as the Bible calls us, ambassadors
for us here.
Might be in our workplaces, in the schools that we go to each and every day.
Say
wherever our community is, wherever God has planted us,
but he goes
maybe God is calling
that.
Us
and again,
to serve
I love
him
what
there.
God says here. It says Elijah took his yoke of oxen, he slaughtered them, burned the
or maybe for some, no matter your age, but especially if you are younger today, God is calling you to serve him in what we call vocational ministry. Pastors, church planters, missionaries, and all those who serve in ministry with the church. Maybe God is calling
that
to you today. I sincerely believe God is still calling people to serve
him.
And I want to take
you
this morning to one of numerous examples, again, in the Bible that we can look at to see God's call upon the life of an individual.
Right?
And in the example of this man, there are some very practical and personal lessons for us today.
You know what that symbolizes?
And it's my prayer that when God calls us, whatever
he's
calling you to do,
everything he knew,
that we would be willing to pick up
the receiver
and
respond. He was leaving nothing to fall back on.
What God
now, the Bible doesn't
us.
Tell us
so
what
if you would take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 19 to 21.
But we
and in these
this,
three verses,
Elijah
in the call of a man named Elisha,
I thought to myself this.
We
you know
find some
done?
Significant
he
lessons
could have taken the guy driving the first pair
comes
of oxen,
to our obedience
moved him
and our
down
response
to position 12,
to God's call.
Hired a new
would
employee,
you allow me just to take
everybody up the
a minute
line,
or so,
and then while I'm away
before
doing
we
this
read
prophet,
God's
just
word
in case
together, allow me on your
so
behalf
well, I've
to talk to the author of this incredible book. And ask him to speak to our hearts today. Father, we love you. We thank you for all that we have enjoyed together this morning already. Thank you, Father, for this church, which is a beautiful local expression of the bride of Christ around the world. And Father, as these people have come this morning, I pray that as Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus, you would open the eyes of our hearts.
No strings attached. Nothing
and we would be ready not only to listen, not only to receive
and I'm sure
the message you have for us today,
thought,
but by your
you
Spirit, we'd also
nuts.
Have the courage to respond
says,
to what you
what
desire
God
to say to us. Guide us
in your word. Thank you for the scriptures.
Our son would
that we have in our hands this morning.
He's a
we give you thanks in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Pick up with me 1 Kings 19, beginning in verse 19. It says this.
You know what,
so Elijah went from
when
there.
God calls us
you go back to verse 16, you see that Elijah was being obedient to God. Because Elijah was told by God to go and anoint Elijah, the son of Shaphat, to be the next prophet.
To God's call?
So verse 19 picks up that story and that obedience. For Elijah went from there, he found Elijah, the son of Shaphat. Elijah was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him and he threw his cloak around him. Elijah then left his oxen, and he ran after Elijah. Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, he said, and then I will come with you. Go back, Elijah replied.
What have I done to you?
So Elijah left him, and he went back. He took his yoke of oxen, and he slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat, and he gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah, and he became
on the other side of the country, or it might be.
First of all, this morning, as you follow along in your sermon notes, and don't panic because it's on two pages, okay? We'll move through this very quickly. But we read, first of all, and I believe as we think about God's call, number one, God's call in Elijah's life was unexpected, I would say to you.
We're
going
to have to do some travel.
It was unexpected. We read that when Elijah came up to him, and Elijah was God's prophet at this point of time, God's messenger to his people. It says that when Elijah went up to him, he found Elijah, the son of Shaphat, and what was Elijah doing? He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. He himself driving the 12 pair. We learn that Elijah was a farmer. And so when Elijah went up to him, Elijah was doing what he did each and every day.
That
was his occupation.
There's some verses.
And I don't imagine Elijah got up that morning and got ready for work and went out and started plowing in the field, he and the other 11 men who were driving the other yoke of oxen. I don't imagine he went out that day expecting God to call him to be the next prophet.
We might think, I don't have a clue how to do this.
He just went out to do what he did each and every
day. I don't know how to be a prophet.
And in the midst of doing what he was doing, each and every day, this unexpected call came into his life.
And with God's call,
I remember myself at age 17. I was sitting in May of 1978 in what was Central Baptist Church in Brantford. It was on Victoria Day. Those days we had these big youth rallies on Victoria Day and Easter weekend and also on Thanksgiving Monday. And on that particular Victoria Day, I was sitting there with about these 1,000 teenagers packed into this church building. I had traveled with my youth group from Georgetown. I didn't know what God was going to do in my life that day. I just went to have a great time with my youth group. And through that day, God spoke to my heart.
Let me give you three thoughts through worship and through the Word.
Now, it was not an audible voice, but through what I heard and what I participated in, God spoke to
my heart. By the way, it
takes
longer to land a 747.
You see, my dream from grade 9,
you need a longer approach.
Was to be an
architect.
Here
we go. We're on the final
landing. I was going to go to the University of Toronto after what we had back then.
Grade
13, your
trade
5 years in that university program,
and
I was going to be an architect. That was my plan for my life.
But we're going to land this plane right now.
And God spoke to my heart that day at age 17. And do you know what he said to me that day? He said, Godfrey, I want you to help.
Don't let it go to voicemail.
That's what I heard that day.
Now,
I had no clue what that meant,
the call to someone else.
But I knew
don't
it was
ignore
from God.
The call that God
and I went back and I talked to the gentleman who was the interim pastor
my
at my home church there in Georgetown at that time, and I told him what God had said to me, and I said, I have no clue what that means.
It's God's
and he,
call
do you know what he said to me?
To you.
He said, I think you got to go to Bible
college.
You
be the one.
Because he said, I think God is calling you into some kind of vocational ministry,
no
maybe as a pastor, maybe as a missionary,
live outside of God's
whatever
will.
That might be, he says, I think you got to go to Bible college.
There's no peace.
And because I had a respect and a trust for
that
man, guess what I did?
A number of times.
That fall, after grade 12,
I
skipped
so
grade 13
others.
And I went right to Bible college at 17 years old.
What is God's will for your
he
life?
He also said
well,
to me, I think you should go to Central Baptist Seminary in Toronto. Didn't give me any other options. But again, I trusted and respected the man, and so that's
we're living in disobedience to his daily will that we read in his
word. Day God brought this unexpected call into my life. And it reminds me as I think of my story and as I think of Elijah here of a couple of verses in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 19 verse 21 says this, many are the plans in a man's heart,
But
if
it's
I don't
God's
listen the second time, guess what happens?
That prevails.
The discipline gets harder.
And then Proverbs 16, verse 9, it says, in his heart, a man plans his course.
We're not willing to live
but
according
the Lord
to his daily
determines
will. That's the first part
steps.
Of God's will.
The
and
other
part the is,
for
and so many,
today,
especially youth and young
when
adults,
we think of
they wrestle
this
with God's
unexpected
will,
call
what?
That can come to any of us at any
future?
Time in our lives.
Maybe even as an older person, you're
we need to be listening.
Right, what is God's plan for my life? That's also God's
to be
plan.
In that place.
And when we're
that
not
when
willing
God
to do,
speaks to us,
first of all, what God's
we are ready
to do
not only
day,
to
and
listen,
then we're not willing
to
do what He's calling
to
us
respond,
to do for the future,
but to be listening
we are in
for the voice of God.
There's no peace. There's no satisfaction.
That's
I've discovered
exactly
and seen an example in the Bible.
Day.
Whenever we live in disobedience
obviously,
to God's daily
relationship
will or future
with God
will for our lives, God
life.
Will always take us
we don't
down.
Know about Elijah
that's
before this time
part.
In his life.
Think of Jonah
but
for
just
a moment.
By the way he responds,
at the beginning. Jonah was called
we know
to do
he was
what?
Listening for the voice
from where
of God.
He was in the city of
even
Tarsus,
though it came
he was called
in a very
to go
unexpected
up
way
to Nineveh,
in his
right?
life.
Literally up. And if you look at a map,
I would encourage you and I today.
He was called to go up.
We always think of north as up. So what does he do?
All the noise that's
he goes
on
down
to
the city of Joppa.
Due south to
are
the
we
port
really
city
listening
of Joppa.
For that voice
when you're
of God.
In disobedience
number
to God,
two, I would say to you this morning that
so
God's
down
call
Joppa,
in Elijah's
he goes
life
down
we
into that city,
was
he goes down to the
not
port
only was it unexpected,
city, he goes down onto a ship in the port. Eventually,
now, as
he goes
I read
down into the
this
cargo
passage,
hold and
you know,
he goes down to
I discover about Elijah.
Down to sleep.
I discover
what
that
happens
he was a
to him because of the storm. He
I
goes down
that he was
into the
set
sea
for life.
And then God sends him down.
I discover that his portfolio was in good shape and he'd probably be able to retire early. Now you're sitting there and saying, I don't
until
see
Jonah
that in my Bible. Where
God
do you find
salvation?
Well, again,
get me
whenever
out of
you read God's Word,
I will go
look
up
for the detail
and I will do
that God
you
provides
call
for
me
us.
To do
the detail
life,
is there
God
for
began to
a
take
reason, right?
That up.
Every time
the
there's a detail
up?
That's given,
again,
God's, God's put
words.
It there for
how did
a
he get out of the
in His
fish?
Word. And we discover in verse 19, again, some significant detail. Not only, as I already mentioned, do we know that he was a farmer because he was out plowing, it says he was plowing with what?
12
never seen anything like this before.
Now, I imagine before he went
up to Nineveh,
he went back down into the sea and he had a bath.
That's an important detail.
But then he went up in obedience and God used him in incredible ways. And an entire city turned their hearts away from sin and turned their hearts to God. In repentance and faith. No peace or satisfaction. How do you determine God's will as you think about the future especially? Let me give you six things very quickly. Number one are the commands. What has already God told us to do? If we're not willing to live the way God's already told us to live day to day, how can we expect Him to lead us towards the future, right? Number two is this, when it comes to determining God's will in our life, is compulsion. A strong inner desire to do something. I believe that comes from God, the Holy Spirit, and it should always line up with the truth of God's Word. It should never be contrary. So that's how you can check it, right? This compulsion I have to do something for God, it better line up with the truth of God's Word. Number three is this, is common sense. Common sense tells me I will never be a worship pastor. My voice would fill the room and you would leave to make room for it. Okay? And I'm fine with that. I understand that. That's common sense. God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and of what? Of a sound mind, it says. The ability to think clearly as followers of Christ. God gives us common sense. Determining God's will, we can wrestle that through. Next, God desires consecration on our behalf. I offer my body as a living sacrifice. Day after day, I've got to surrender my life to His will. Then God can lead us to the future. God provides counsel. And that's the blessing of a church family and of godly parents and grandparents who we can go to and seek godly counsel, but don't just take their word for it. Make sure what they're saying to you by way of counsel lines up with the commandments, what God has told us in His Word. If it's contrary, it's not based on the Scripture. Make sure it lines up with the Word of God. And then lastly, God would say to us, there's a sense of contentment that comes. Have you ever experienced that peace that just passes all of our human understanding when God's calling us to do something? Lastly, by way of application, let me say this to you. No matter your age, your ability, or your experience, respond to God's call. There's six questions that we often ask, right? Who, what, where, when, why, and how? Those are pretty common questions for us. And I don't know about you, but I always like to know the what, where, when, why, and how when God calls before I say, okay, God, I'm the who. But that's not the way it works with God. We've got to be willing to respond to the who question. And when we do by faith, what I've discovered is God provides the what, where, when, why, and the how. right? Have you discovered that in your life? But we've got to answer the who question first. And the faith comes in because we don't know the answer to the other five questions. Elijah had no clue. He just knew, this is what I'm supposed to do with my life. And I don't know where you are at today, but we all need to respond to the who question. And we have great need today in our world for all kinds of people with all kinds of skill and all kinds of abilities, both now and in the future, to make a huge investment in God's kingdom, locally and globally. Would you just bow with me in prayer for a moment? And just before the worship team comes and we sing a song of commitment today, I want to ask you to respond in two ways. Number one is this. If you're here today as a parent or a grandparent, and you would just simply like to stand today and say, God, before you, I want to do my best to live out the reality of my faith in front of my kids and my grandkids. I want to make that commitment today. If you'd like to stand where you are, please do so, and I'd like to pray for you this morning. God, I want my faith, the reality of my faith, to be lived out in front of my kids and my grandkids. Would you stand this morning? No matter the cost, no matter what it takes, I'm going to strive to do that. God bless you this morning. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you for these men and women. Thank you for the children and grandchildren whom you have entrusted into their homes and into their lives. And Lord, I pray you would give them the courage and the confidence and the strength to live out each and every day with your power working in them and through them, the reality of their faith in Christ in front of the precious children and grandchildren you have entrusted to them. Father, I know that Satan will do whatever he can to thwart this commitment, to take it off the rails. But Lord, help these men and women to know that with your help, they can live out the reality of their faith. Bless them, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. And then secondly, can I just ask you today, if you'd like to stand and say, God, I'm the who today. I don't know the what, where, when, why, and how, but I'm just willing to stand before God and before this great church family and just simply say, God, my life is yours. Especially if you're here as a youth or a young adult, but even older folks. Maybe you're seeing a redirection in your life for the future. God, I'm the who today, and I'm simply going to trust you for what, where, when, why, and how. My life is yours. Would you like to stand this morning? I'd like to pray for you today. God bless you this morning. Thank you. Amen. Now, before I pray for these folks, the rest of you need to look around, okay? Someone actually needs to write down the names of these people because you need to come alongside and help them. That's the blessing of a church family. Help them figure out the what, where, when, why, and how, okay? I'm leaving. I'd love to come back someday, but I'm leaving. This is your responsibility to help these men and women figure out God's will for the future for their lives. So you take that responsibility seriously. Let's pray for them. Father, thank you for these men and women, for their hearts, their openness to simply say, God, my life right now is yours. And Lord, I praise you. There are those younger and there are those who are a little bit older who have stood before you today. And Lord, what potential there is for your kingdom to be impacted through these men and women. So bless them richly, I pray. Help them, Lord, to figure out what the next steps are. And Lord, I know that you will lead them clearly because you've promised to do so. The steps of good men and good women are ordered by the Lord. Give them courage, give them confidence. Help them to know with your help they can live out the reality of this decision today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. We're just going to sing closing song, just part of it. Jesus, all for Jesus. Make this your prayer as we close this morning.